Next speaker, Jake. I've known Jake for many years. I saw his very first talk at Media Ajax back in the day. 2008, yeah. And he's always wonderful, and I'm really looking forward to this. Please, big welcome, Jake Archibald.
I didn't go out for lunch because I'm always afraid of like throwing up on stage. But I'm kind of curious that there's like an entire row at the back that is now empty. So wherever they went to eat, don't go there. It's wiped out an entire row. So every couple of months, the progressive enhancement debate flares up again. And on one side, you have these dogmatic Luddites who think JavaScript should be banned from the web. And on the other side, you have a group that thinks you need 2 megabytes of JavaScript and 20 seconds of processing just to render a paragraph. Or that's at least how the debate gets represented in 140 characters. But who's right? Well, I would like to get one thing out of the way, and that's that JavaScript is a part of the web, right? It's not an optional extra. In some cases, relying on JavaScript for core content can improve user experience and developer productivity. But in other cases, working without JavaScript can improve user experience and developer productivity. Because of this, I think we need to kind of switch the mindset a bit and have 2 modes of progressive enhancement. One mode is what you would use that if you needed to support older browsers, things like IE8 and the old Android browser. In this case, you should definitely make the core proposition of your app work without JavaScript, and then just don't give the older browsers your JavaScript. And this is really simple to implement. Like just before any of your JavaScript runs, perform some kind of feature test. And if it doesn't pass, no more JavaScript for that browser. And I do think it's okay to cheat a little in this case. I mean, you should definitely use feature detection for features you use, and you should do that throughout your code. But a little bit of cheating at the start is not too bad. And this is my favorite, actually, is the page visibility API. Because you test for this, it just so happens that that is going to fail in IE9 and below, and it's also going to fail in the old Android browser. This is green here, but it actually requires a WebKit prefix, so it will fail a normal feature test. So if you do that, now these browsers are running off plain old HTML and CSS. You're protecting yourself from the real bitey parts of these browsers. But the content still works, right? And developing becomes way easier, and testing becomes way easier. And for the newer browsers, you can have a bit of fun. You can have fun with modern JavaScript and DOM features. But if you don't need to support these older browsers, and I think the story is a little bit different, and I'm kind of going against what some of the advice that's been in the talks previous to mine today, I don't think there's a huge reason for your stuff to work without JavaScript. And I do think that, you know, some progressive enhancement thinkers disagree with me on this. I mean, of course, don't use JavaScript to do stuff the browser can already do, because it will usually just be worse. Now you have things like checkboxes, certainly scrolling. But other stuff, like take Talky.io, for instance. This is a WebRTC video chat app, impossible without JavaScript. SVG OMG, it's an SVG minifier that I built, and it does its work entirely on the client. Now, of course, you could just have a web form that takes a SVG, and the server does the work and returns you something back. I mean, that would be pretty slow, but it doesn't require JavaScript. But who actually benefits from something like that? With progressive enhancement, every phase of the enhancement absolutely must have a real user that actually can benefit from it. And in a world where everyone has modern browsers, is progressive enhancement dead? So a couple of months ago, I bought a PS4. And a particular feature of the PS4 caught my eye. When downloading a game, you could play level 1, even though level 30 was still downloading. Well, whoopee shit. The most powerful entertainment systems in the world consider this a breakthrough in thinking. The web has had this feature for 20 years. This is the full HTML spec loading here. It's a 3 megabyte document. It's a throttled connection. But it gets on screen after only 20K is received. It's still downloading now. This is what makes the web feel fast. You know, browsers embrace data streaming. You don't need like a lengthy install step to get somewhere. Whereas for things like consoles, the PS4, the web is this kind of awkward add-on, and you know, they only really considered it at first for like online gaming. And I am not interested in online gaming because I have never played a game that I thought would be better with the addition of verbal abuse from a child. Seriously, any game with one of the headset thingies, it's like being on the phone to the English Defence League children's choir. You know, I can't cope with it at all. But what do we do with this amazing web feature? We web engineer it away using these huge JavaScript libraries. And often when I point to poor performance and of these things, and I point to the evidence of how performance impacts retention, sales, donations, downloads, the counterargument is often, well, actually, this is an app, not a site. Like, that matters. I mean, users do not stare at a white screen and think, well, thank Christ this is a web app and not a website, otherwise I'd be really annoyed. The author of this, Talky.io, he gave an anti-progressive enhancement talk here in Brighton at Full Frontal, and he was eloquent, and he was smart. God, I hate him so much. But I'm going to pick on his site as a kind of petty form of revenge. But I mean, I did get his permission to do this, and he has changed his thinking quite a bit on this stuff, and that will be reflected in the next version of this app. Anyway, we're going to look at how long this takes to load on a 3G connection. And I always use 3G as my baseline test because, you know, so many people use mobiles now, and of course we do have 4G. But even 4G-capable users are going to be on 3G or worse more than half the time in this country. It's only 42% will be on actual 4G. So how long does it take them to get to first render on a 3G connection? It takes 8 seconds. 8 seconds of blank screen. When building sites, apps, whatever, ask yourself, did the load time justify the result for what the user actually got at that moment? I mean, Adobe spent a long time improving the startup time of Photoshop because back in the day, it was absolutely ridiculous to stare at this for 30 seconds in order to get this. Because what does this actually do? What can it actually do? There's a load of buttons that I can't press, a load of menu items that are disabled. All I can do is select an image to open or start a new image that's just blank. That doesn't need 30 seconds of loading. 8 seconds. I find it alarming that this decade's web apps are willfully making the same mistakes of last decade's native apps. We need to let users play level one as soon as level one has downloaded. So how do we fix this? Well, like most framework-driven sites, Talky has no content in the markup. Don't do that. You know, put some content in there. Markup is great for this. Add all the markup you need to make that look like that. I mean, we've been doing that without JavaScript for a long time. And if you absolutely cannot get content in your markup, then at least use some markup for the rest of your UI, you know, the sort of app shell. But hear this. A splash screen is not an acceptable first render. It is an admission of failure. It is a gravestone commemorating the death of your performance. And don't put the names of those responsible on it. That's embarrassing. Same goes for spinners and loading bars. These are failure cases. These are horrible things. We should avoid them. Okay, so we've got markup. We've got some actual content in the markup. And like Steve Souders always says, we need to go full async with everything that can be async. Stop blocking the rendering of this beautiful markup now you have it. So here I'm going to just mark that script as async. That does the job in most cases. But I'm also going to load this font async as well, using load CSS, the script by the Filament group. In fact, I would avoid using web fonts for first render content. They're really horrible for performance. There's a new CSS property that's being proposed called font rendering, and one of the things you can say for a particular bit of text is say, hey, if you've got the web font ready to go in the cache, use it. If you don't, use a fallback, but download the web font for next page load. And I think that is going to solve a lot of the performance problems with web fonts, but in the meantime, they're a real performance vampire. So if Talky put content in the markup, made their script async, loaded the font async, their render time would go from 8 seconds to 6.4 seconds worth of saving just for those tiny little differences. And 2.6 seconds is not bad for 3G because it has like about 1.6 seconds of connection setup time, which you can't really do much about. Even on a 5 megabit connection, this takes them from 2.5 seconds down to half a second. This is really significant stuff for small changes. If something about the JavaScript framework you use prevents you doing this, drop it and get a better one. Because it's out of date. It was probably born out of date. It's locking you into the mistakes of last decade's native apps. Nothing should have a JavaScript-dependent first render. It only punishes the user. Anyway, 2.6 seconds, not too bad, easy to achieve. But you can take it further, and I did all of these, the basic stuff with SVG, OMG, but I wanted to see how close to kind of native performance I could get it by, you know, throwing all of the tricks at it. And I got it down to 1.7 seconds. And as I say, because 1.5 is connection setup, that's, yeah, that's pretty much as quick as you're going to be able to get it. And that was just, you know, for the first render. And this is a JavaScript-heavy, JavaScript-dependent app. But still getting to render before JavaScript is hugely beneficial. And the performance comes down to adopting a progressive loading style. So this is the network waterfall, and so this is the HTML page. And that contains some inline CSS for that first render, and then everything else is loaded async, and there's markup there for that first render as well. So that's 5K of content for that first render. And that shouldn't be a shock, because look at it, right? There's any more than 5K, and you should be asking questions for something like that. And then the extra CSS and JavaScript comes in asynchronously, and that takes an additional 3/4 of a second. It's 15K of JavaScript, 4K of CSS. And once this arrives, the user can play level one. Like, there's actually interaction functionality there. They can select an image to optimize, select the demo, whatever. And then 1 second later, the heavy scripts come in as workers. This is the stuff that can do the actual SVG parsing and minifying, gzipping, syntax highlighting. But the user doesn't care that these were loading in the background. Like, and sure, what I'm doing here is I'm loading some JavaScript, which then loads some more JavaScript, which is, and that's going to be slower in total than delivering all of the JavaScript at once in one big lump. But one big lump would increase the time to first interaction. And it's first render and first interaction that are actually the important bits. So when I was a kid at school, they had someone come in and teach us all the dangers of smoking. And I went home full of new facts and information, and I related all of this to my dad, who is a smoker, and I said, "Dad, you know, did you know that cigarettes contain..." I reeled off all the horrible ingredients and the hundreds of cancers that they cause and the damage to society, and then I ended on the big fact that I'd learned that day. I said, did you know, every time you smoke a cigarette, you reduce your life by 10 minutes? And my dad thought for a moment, and he looked up and he said, "Can it be this 10 minutes? And despite being a total smart ass, he did have a point. The time people hate wasting the most is right now. Adding a few hundred milliseconds onto the low time is worth it if it decreases the time for first render and interaction, because the user doesn't notice the extra, because they're distracted by having actually something they can play with. So, okay, things are looking pretty rosy on 3G, but we all have phones, and we know we don't always have 3G. We quite often have this, which I have been calling Li-Fi, right? And I'm determined to make this a thing, a recognized industry term. But we've all had this, right? If you traveled in from London this morning, you probably experienced this on the train down. This is when the phone thinks it has connectivity, and it will keep trying for minutes, but it won't actually get anywhere. I mean, offline is bad too. We should solve offline as well. But at least with offline, you get a quick answer. And like, fucking Li-Fi, you know, the long stare at the white screen, the infinite spinner. Let's fix this. Progressive enhancement needs to evolve a bit, I think. Like, the majority of users now have a frequently auto-updating browser. Enhancing based on browser features is becoming less of a challenge. Varying network conditions have always been a bigger problem, but there's just nothing we could have done about it for a while. And as mobile usage increases around the world, it becomes more and more of an issue. Offline first is progressive enhancement, but using the network. But we can fix this now. Service Worker landed in Chrome in January. It's coming soon to Firefox, not the next version, maybe the version after. So from your page, you call a bit of code like this, and now that script is going to sit between your page and the network. You also get a programmable cache that you can add and remove stuff from whenever you want. Inside that JavaScript file, you get events such as install when the browser finds a Service Worker for the first time, activate when it's ready, but most importantly, fetch. And this happens whenever one of your pages is requested or when one of those pages makes a network request. And like other JavaScript events, you can prevent the default and do your own thing. In the case of SVG OMG request, in the install phase, I gather everything that the Service Worker needs to render the page, and that all goes into the cache. And next time a page loads, it controls a page, it gets the request, just pulls the response out of the cache and sends it on its way. The service worker doesn't do any of this for me automatically. As a developer, I've decided that this is what should happen because it provides the user experience I want. But even then, the code is there's not a lot of code. This is the install code, just a list of things, basically, I want to cache. And this is the fetch code, which is saying get it from the cache. I'm not going to deep dive into the API. I'm just showing that it's not a lot of code, but you're still in full control. And that takes the performance of SVG OMG's subsequent visits from between 1 to 2 seconds to it's as good as instant. And that's how fast it is on 3G, offline, and on Li-Fi. The network no longer has any impact on performance. But the browser will check in the background, once it renders this, for updates to the service worker. So if there's any change, it's treated as a new version of the app or the site. So if I were to change something here, like the name of the cache to V2, the browser will pick up on that, and it will start it up as a new version. And that new version will sort of go and fetch everything it needs from the network, while the old version's still running, because it's not going to disrupt the user. And it'll store all that stuff in the cache. Now, it will wait behind while the old version is still being used by pages. But once those pages close, there's nothing left to control. The old version, well, it isn't needed anymore. It becomes, well, redundant, and it goes away. But that means a new version can move in and take over, and that's great, and it can start controlling pages. Now, that's actually an optional step to wait that long while the old version is still in use. You can actually skip waiting this command, and you can just control a page straight away. You just need to be aware that you're controlling a page that was loaded with some older version, and you know, you have to decide whether that's a problem for you. In terms of user experience, you can decide what to do, and you can listen for these events on a page. So if the update comes in really quickly, you can just refresh the page. You might not have even noticed it happened there, but I'm telling the user, this stuff's updated, it's great. However, you could also say, oh, if the user manages to interact before the update lands, which is going to happen here, you can't really just refresh the page, it's a bit disruptive, but maybe you would choose to show some kind of notification. You can do what you want here. We absolutely must protect our users from varying network conditions. And unfortunately, when I suggest this, I sometimes get this response. Users don't stare at a white screen and think, thank God this is a website and not an app, otherwise they'd be really annoyed. And even with sites, we should be looking to operate offline first. Take Wikipedia, the sightiest site there is. And this is something I prototyped recently. You may have seen me go on about it. This is just an icon on the home screen, but it's just to the website. And excuse my poor design, because I have literally no idea what I'm doing. But let's click on this link to the Hulk Hogan article. That loads great, and there's a read offline option in the corner. So if I hit that, the article's going to be available to me offline. So if I close all of those tabs and wait till some point when I don't have connectivity, I can just click on the icon and everything loads instantly because it's all coming from a local cache, which is great. And this is something I actually used when I was going away to kind of retain facts about various places where I was going. But so even sites benefit from this stuff. But if I click one of these other links, say the one for Georgia Championship Wrestling, whatever that is, we're back in this situation because that article's not cached. We can't cache all of Wikipedia. That would be ridiculous. But Google and Mozilla have been working together on a feature that lets you do something better in this situation. This is a little bit of a responsive day out exclusive because I haven't shown anyone this before outside of Google anyway. And this only landed in Chrome Dev on Wednesday, and it's behind a few flags, but whatever. Here we are back in the situation we were before. I'm going to click the link again. But now we can display a message to the user saying, whoop, that looks like it's loading slowly or failed to load. We invite them to click a thing and say, actually, yeah, go and load it in the background. The web page asks for notifications permissions. That makes sense in this context, so I click OK. And then I close the browser down, whatever. I go and play a game, or I lock the phone and I put it in my pocket, whatever. But then, sometime later, the phone vibrates, I get a notification, it's telling me that page is now available for you to view. And I can click on it, and it loads just instantly because it's all from a cache. And that all of a sudden now, that frustrating experience of staring at a spinner forever, wanting something to load, goes away because you can just tell it to go and do it in its own time. And implementing this feature didn't require any clever stuff or a feature that's designed specifically to do this. It's a low-level feature called Background Sync. What the aim of this feature is, like, if you want to send some data to the server, like an email or an instant message, you want to say, right, I definitely want this to send. And if the user doesn't have any connectivity right now, can you schedule a background event in the service worker to go and deal with this little bit of work? But you can also use it for fetching small amounts of data, which is what I was doing there with the Wikipedia page. This is still a couple of months away from landing in stable, because we need to turn our sketches into a full spec. We need to make sure we're doing the right things in terms of privacy as well, because we do want to land this without user permission. I mean, you'll need user permission for notifications, but if it's just sending like an email, which is likely to happen while the user's still looking at the tab, we need to work out sort of when's the right time. How can we make sure these scripts aren't running at inappropriate times and they're not running inappropriately long as well? So, Service Worker gives you these interesting features. Offline first gets you on screen in under 150 milliseconds. And you can do this today in Chrome, which, depending on what you're building, either covers like a large portion of your users or maybe even the majority. Soon it'll land in Firefox. IE have said they'll do it. They just haven't given us a date yet. Apple, we don't know. They're a black box, unfortunately. But don't let that stop you, because, of course, there is a way that you can start using this safely today. Service Worker has been built from the ground up to be progressive enhancement friendly. If you want Safari to support this, use it today. Your stuff will become faster in Chrome and Firefox and eventually IE than it is in Safari, and they're not going to let that stand. They'll have to implement it as well. It is going to take a while for users to get used to a web that works offline, though. Some of you who travel down from London, did you notice the toilets on the trains that are the big sort of circular toilets? I didn't imagine those, right? They're a thing. Yeah, okay. There's a big revolving door, and when you go inside, you're greeted with the fucking seashells or whatever they are. You press a button to close the door, and you press another, and now it's locked, apparently. I don't trust this. I don't trust it because it has failed on me, and I was sat on the bog and slowly revealed to the carriage like a terrible game show prize. But that's why I like a door that I can lock and I can check. Yeah, that's definitely locked. And we have that problem with offline as well. Like, users don't trust the offline web because they've seen it fail. And even if you tell them it works, it's like, well, does it actually work? And they could do airplane mode, but that's a clart, isn't it? Of course, the performance boost alone is worth it. And features like Background Sync, they're going to delight the user and introduce them to the idea that the web can be network resilient. And also, Chrome now, for repeat visits to particular sites that work offline and have a manifest, we're going to start suggesting the user adds it to their home screen with one click. And there it starts looking like a native app and performing like a native app. So that's my challenge to you all. Render without JavaScript. Add in level one behaviors early. And for future visits, render without the network. Save users from Li-Fi. This is how we beat native apps at user experience. Thank you very much.